All right, I would like to call to order the Administrative Control Board meeting for Mountain Regional Water. It is Thursday, April 17th at 6 o'clock. Do we have any public input this week? Okay. Do we need to go into executive session?
We do not.
Excellent. All right, so let's review the consent agenda. Does anyone have any changes to the meeting minutes? No changes. Okay. And then, did anyone have any questions on the check register? Okay. So, only thing I had is so on the credit card statement, it said that you had developed some old photos, and I was wondering if it was anything interesting.
Unfortunately not.
Oh, okay. So,
I had a bunch of these throwaway 35mm cameras and been sitting in the file cabinet for 20 something years. Just all these construction photos of the trench and stuff like that. There were some photos of the employees,
yeah.
but most of them were damaged. They're all, you know, they're so old.
Yeah. I didn't hear that. Yeah, no, I was just curious.
Yeah, it was like five or six cameras.
Okay, did and there's not any purchase orders.
No purchase
Okay.
orders this time.
All right. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, Joel, second. All in favor? Aye. Okay, it's unanimous. All right, moving right along to Steve.
Right. Well, the financial update for the quarter is it's a little more to it than the monthly one, but very similar. Revenue were $232,000 better than budget, and expenses were $211,000 below budget. So we're $444,000 better than budget right now. The interesting thing is if you go down a little bit, or I kind of talk. We generally break off revenue into operating revenue and non-operating revenue. If you just look at our operating revenue, that's water sales, meter installations, things were that are part of our operations. We're only $875 off of budget through the first quarter. So basically we're right on. So that's pretty good
Wow.
on you know, $3 million or whatever kind of sales. The non-operating, we're still doing, that's where the variance is, the positive variance. Impact fees have been higher than budgeted because they've held at the four-year average instead of dropping. We kind of thought they'd drop a little bit, but they're holding right now at the average. And interest earnings, still, it's dropping in the PTIF, but not as rapidly because, as you know, the Fed has not cut rates like we thought they would. So we're still being able to make more money than we had projected when we made the budget last year. If you look at expenses, we're in a, oh, I'm still on revenue, sorry. So the revenue just by category, yeah, go ahead and go down to that next one, Chris. Kind of just by general category, you can see residential is doing a little better than what we budgeted. Park City and wholesale are a little lower. So off of just water sales, we're 18,000 over budget. What we've had is fewer meter installations and fewer other operating revenues. But still pretty good. Usage has been higher, we'll get to that, than the last few years, and that's part of really why we're over on residential. All right. If we look at expenses, we've got savings in all the categories so far this year, operations, maintenance, and repairs. It's interesting, we've had a couple of places with high repair costs already this year. Lost Canyon, but they pulled a couple of pumps, refurbished them, put them back in. But distribution and treatment plant are running low. So when you balance that all out, we're doing pretty well. Non-admin, non-operation maintenance and repairs, like we've discussed before, is always easier to budget because there's just less variance in that. So that's why that's closer. The one thing I will call your attention to, and I mentioned in the narrative, is we hadn't budgeted anything for bond issuance, but we did make that $25,000 deposit with Withia. So that's in that category for now to kind of hold and see how that plays out this year. likely will actually get issued sometime this year. It seems like Withy wants to get it closed. We want to be able to draw on the funds starting next year to do the treatment plant expansion. Pretty close to last year expenses right now, which is good. Cash, not a lot of movement between months, last month and this month. But if you look at last year, and in particularly the other restricted cash, you'll see it last year we were about 19.8 mm-hmm. because we had just drawn, gotten a big bond to build the building. Now you can see we've spent quite a bit of that money, so we're down to the 13 million in restricted cash. For most of that is construction. Let's go ahead and go on down. This one, I include a capital budget, and I'm just going to call your attention to a couple of lines. So the top line, office, maintenance, and shop. So by the time we budgeted for the building, the shop, the infrastructure, everything like that, our budget was 20.8 million. We spent about 9.8, trying to spend about another 9.8, so we're about halfway through the cash. Mike, I know you kind of like to watch how that's going over the time frame. But we're looking at coming in about 1.1 million under that budget, which is good. We'll spend 18 million we borrowed, but the money we've kind of taken out of our own reserves to help fund that, we'd be able to put back into those to fund other capital projects. Right now, the treatment plant expansion is another big project we're working on this year, design work. We've committed a little bit of over budget there right now to get what's done compared to what we thought at the end of the year, but we've got savings in other categories, so we'll just move it down to cover that. The other big project is Old Ranch Road, where we still rolled 1.1 million. We're thinking we'll have quite a bit of savings in there because we're doing a lot of that ourselves, pouring the cement pad, the generator. The one thing we don't know for sure is the generator. We've been told that they will pass along tariff costs, but we don't know what those are yet. So that could move that up to $25,000, maybe $50,000, but still will still be under budget. The other smaller projects are, we're just kind of getting going on those, let's say. Other than the EAM implementation, Sam and his team are working hard on getting that software up and running. So that's good. We continue on design and fees, and Sam's on top of that, so looking good there.
So,
go ahead.
On the generator costs, Dave, are those eligible? Do we have a contract for the generator?
We did have a contract, but it was in some of the small language. They're letting us know that we would still have to pay tariff costs if those are added. So we haven't dug into that too deeply, but because we haven't gotten it yet. Not sure if it'll get in before they kick in, before the 90 days delay is.
So it's the contract that allows for the tariffs?
That's what, as I understand, we'll look into this.
Yeah, I've looked at the contract.
We'll pass the contract on to David, just make sure before we make any payments. All right, if we go down just a little bit, customer growth. So new connection requests, we're at 35, kind of bottom left column, which is better than last year, 8 more than last year, but still below the 4-year average. You have to remember we're still averaging in the 21 and 22 that were incredibly high. Promontory has been pretty active participant. They've sold 13 lots, so up from last year. Plus, they've been paying quite a few impact fees on things. I think they're building at spec, more or less, like the resort units and things like that. So they seem to be one of our more active construction zones again this year. Okay, let's go ahead and go down a little bit. This is where I was talking about usage. So if we just look at the bottom, that's for the first quarter. So our own customers are up 4.2%. So 236 acre feet, kind of in the purple bottom left, versus 228 last year, up a little bit. Olympic Park's almost exactly what they were last year, just 1 acre foot less than last year. The big change is Park City, where we've been wheeling, 5, 600-700 acre feet in the first quarter. This year, we only did a little over 300 acre feet. So definitely, they are not relying on Quinn's Junction and the water they get from us as much as they used to. And then Summit Water is down 40%, 41.9, because again, this is their last contract year. They're kind of done for a while, and then they'll pick back up taking water.
July 1st.
So kind of that transition we thought would be happening, where we're kind of phasing out Weaver Basin and using it with our customers. It's kind of happening. It wouldn't be bad if we had more customers to replace the revenue for next year, but we'll see what happens. Okay. And then this is just the appendixes. So these are a little more detailed. Like if you wanted to look at interest earnings, for example, we're at $376,000 for the year right there. We budgeted $319,000. So that's a little bit of the variance, the positive variance. Impact fees, we're at $205,000. We budgeted $110,000. So it just gives you a little more detail than I usually do in the monthly reports. And then you can see each department in the expense side down below too. So if anybody other than Karen wants to dig into that stuff. And then this is just the cash report broken down again a little more in detail of how much we keep in operating, the funds that, like right where Chris has the cursor, restricted capital facility reserves, those, that $1.8 million we've got in there will pay for the Matterhorn line replacement this year, so that'll go down by $1 million. So that's where that money will come from. You'll see the Series 2023 bond and the other restricted at $11.3 million. You're getting really good at this, Chris. Thank you. And then you looked at the other page where we only have about $9.8 million expected to spend. So you can see where those savings are going to come back and we'll be able to get some of our money, or at least reallocate some of our money back to other capital projects. All right. And just the graph. Blue line is holding just above the purple line, which is exactly what we expected. So now we'll see what happens. April looked like it was going to be hot and dry and golf course was turning on water and things like that, but now we've got a stormy weekend, so we'll see.
But I don't see water going on the golf course, so they're definitely taking water.
So we'll see what happens in April. It won't be a big variance. We might be a little bit more above the purple line. Where we can get the big swing is May and June, depending on how quickly people turn on water and how hot it gets fast. So. All right. Any questions on the financials? It's a good quarter. I mean, I'm happy that we're seeing that we've been able to predict operating revenue at least in the months that we should be able to. You know, it's a little harder to predict in the summer just because you can never tell what exactly is going to happen with usage. But and expenses are right where I hope they'd be this time of year, under budget, leaving us some room to wiggle.
Great.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. All right. So then do you also have an audit update and a WIFIA?
My food will have to wait just a minute longer. Audit update. Squire is supposed to have me final numbers. There's like three adjusting journal entries that we found kind of together. So we're doing it a little different with them. We're doing all of the MDA and all the other supplementary. They're just kind of doing the core financials in the middle. Dana would help us a little more on the edges, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But I said I need those numbers just so I can make sure the write-ups we're doing for the management discussion and analysis and the other supplementary stuff tie to their numbers. I'm pretty sure they're the exact same because I gave them the numbers. We agreed on what the journal entries were. But I'm going to get those tomorrow so we can kind of finish up our write-ups, and then I'm going to lean on them a little more like, so when is your part done so we can get it to you? But it's definitely a good experience, but a different experience. You know, like they're definitely a bigger firm, let's say, and a little more checking, but a little less into details at the same time in a strange way. So, but, you know, good to have somebody else. At least test it out a little bit.
And we're hoping, I guess, for maybe a draft to get to you.
Yeah.
End
of May. I mean, beginning of May.
May 5th-ish
kind of thing. Because we'll want to try to get in the packet May 8th and 9th. So it's in first. We can go over it in the May 15th board meeting. And they've committed to that timeline. Yes. So.
I can't wait.
Yes. It might be a little faster read this year. Just okay. A little, so you may, it may not be as lengthy.
Well, I, you know, it's always that end part where they talk about the.
The URS.
The pension.
Yeah, the pension. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't read that part. Like it makes it a lot easier to read.
Yeah.
The WIFI update, as I mentioned, we paid the $25,000 deposit. They had a few questions. We've answered those. It's in their formal review process right now. Their next steps were, how long does it take you to set your parameters, borrow the money? Like, they seem to be moving at a pretty quick pace. So as fast as we want to move, they seem to be willing to accommodate that.
Right.
And then I know you guys had a call yesterday when with the county kind of talking about that. So all I can say, it's really nice in that the first payment is delayed to 5 years after completed construction. So not that there won't be rate increases, but they can be phased in more slowly. Because if we were with the price increases and everything like that, if we were having to do this traditional funding, if Lisa hadn't kind of gone to work to research it and all of us done the work to get that application in, it would have been a much harder pill to swallow, let's say, because we've been making a payment in 27 and 28, and now we don't have to till 2033. So,
do we have any concern that that funding might become victim of DOGE or, you know, any other?
They're sure not acting like it.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're still extending loans. People, it's going out. People are resubmitting for second loans. And they send out a nice yearly summary that Lisa got that I read, that even after we close, if interest rates change to our favor before we start drawing money, we can adjust those one time. So you know how interest rates are kind of high right now? If they drop before we actually start taking money, we can adjust down. They also are quick on paying because that became a concern. You know, like our other bonds, as soon as I submit a request, it's like within a week, 2 or 3 days usually. But I didn't know that. But they have a really high within 10 days getting you your money. So that was good to know. So we won't have to float cash, let's say. The other thing is it is refinance. Like if for some reason we've actually closed, drawn down the money or whatever, but interest rates really drop and we could do better in the bond market, we could go to the bond. Well, you can refinance it. You're not locked in. Now, we probably won't get the same terms. We won't get 35 years. But if it got to a point where, hey, we can save a percent, we can take on this debt now. So they pride themselves on a lot of flexibility and they seem to be backing it up. So
great.
So yeah,
we did qualify for the Buy America, Build America waiver, the BABA waiver. So that's pretty good. So that's pretty significant. We will have to still do the steel and the Davis Bacon, but that's not nearly the lift that the BABA would be. So that's good.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything? No, I just, Amelia, who we've been working with on kind of the initial application process and the front end, she's kind of now passing it off to her transaction team. So that's who Court is kind of going into now. Karen was on the call with counsel. It sounds like Andy had a conversation with Chris, and we're potentially maybe doing some kind of another discussion about just the whole process. Sounds like... you know, in the next coming months or so, but I'd like to get that parameters resolution to the board and then their recommendation to council so that we could kind of get that going sooner rather than later.
And as you recall with the building, it's just kind of that parameters is to set the guardrails with the county that we won't borrow more than this. These are only interest rates we'll accept, so that it just gives some guidance so you guys know we couldn't commit more and what the county's actually saying we can't do. So.
And the good news with Chris is Weaver Basin is closed with the loans recently, so he's really familiar with the process. He understands the need, so things are moving.
Great.
All right. Any questions on anything that I've talked about? All right.
No, we've got it.
Thank you.
Okay, and
eat again.
Now on to Lisa and the drought recommendation.
Just have a memo in here. We do need to take an action on this to recommend the drought level. Andy and I met with Weber Basin at their annual meeting, and they are not in there will not be any restrictions to watering. We ended up with an above average snowpack. It peaked about a week earlier than normal, so the runoff is happening a little bit sooner, but no restrictions. So I would recommend that the board go with the level one, just normal. Of course, we will continue to educate conservation, and we're still doing our rain barrel. We're working with Weber Basin right now. Their site is a little, isn't working for applications at this point. So Anna's team has been helping that get that going, but we're still having people calling and asking. I think you had two, Anna, want to submit an application, but Weber Basin's working on fixing their bugs. So.
And that's just that you're talking about an application for the grass removal.
For the landscape lawn exchange program.
Did they talk about going to advisory?
No.
What's the difference between normal and advisory?
I think that's if they're seeing a little bit more on the and as far as I would say the northern half of the state is looking really good. The southern half of the state, and on the drought monitor, you're seeing the more, yellows and kind of orange colors. But really in the northern part of the state, where Weber Basin is and where we are, they're expecting everything to fill. In fact, they were pushing water. I think they were releasing water out of Willard into Salt Lake. So they are not at a point where they would want to head into any type of advisory at this point.
In days like today? No.
Yeah.
Tell my dog that.
You want to go out there?
Well, it's just rare that there's a day where it just rains all day long.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
So this is an
So we need to. So does somebody want to make a motion to recommend the drought level?
Motion.
Or I guess, so this is the consideration. It's consideration of approval of the district's drought level recommendation.
Motion to district at level one.
Do we have a second? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's unanimous. We're going to be out of here by 6:30. Okay, so now we're on to Sam.
So I put together a little quarterly update. It's not very exciting for the first quarter because there's not a lot of construction happening, obviously. A lot of paperwork, submittals, finishing design, that kind of thing. But, I also tried to trim it down. Just we have a lot going on this year, so I won't give an update on every single project every time, I don't think. But the focus for the year continues to be net on terrace waterline at the very top of Summit Park, or one of the very tops of Summit Park, I suppose. And project is out to bid, and bid openings at the end of the month. So that's exciting. We'll see how the bids come in. So we're still working off that $900,000 budget figure we prepared last year. We had some good data from our past waterline projects, so I hope it's accurate, but. Won't know until the bids get opened. And then the notice to proceed should follow shortly after the bid opening. Our tier two projects, the Brown Skin Connection Betterment. We talked about this a lot. This was a 2019 IFFP project that got carried into our current master plan. And it's upsizing and extending the water line as Promontory moves south towards Browns Canyon Road. And that is an executed contract. And I think work could be kicking off shortly. We'll be inspecting our portion of it. Stacy, our project coordinator, is gonna lead the inspections on there. And they haven't gotten things kicked off quite yet. But we will keep a close eye on that one. And then Highway 224, we're not managing the project, but significant enough, I'll provide updates throughout the year. Sounds like early next month, pipe materials are going to be showing up for Whitaker. They've elected to not trench a lot of the alignment. Instead, do a lot of directional work, and they're saving a little bit of money in doing so. And they're changing the pipe material to accommodate that, to a higher strength or higher thickness wall, high density polyethylene pipe. End of the year is still the target to get that project in, and seems like they got a good team with the Whitaker folks, and they've got a lot of good ideas, and things seem to be going smoothly. Summit Park projects, most of it kind of lands in Chris's world, doing a lot of electrical and skate upgrades, kind of still in procurement mode for a lot of electrical equipment. Broad strokes are some projects are going to push till fall after peak season install. Some things will try and get done ahead of time. And then the only addition is on Summit Park Wall 7, in addition to electrical equipment, we're putting a chlorinator in there. And we've got most of the chlorinator pieces procured, and that kind of have a plan to start knocking that out. Excuse me. We received a minor comment from our state DDW review, which we're addressing. It shouldn't be a problem, and still expect to get plan approval for the coordinator shortly. So that shouldn't be an issue. Oscanium Pump 1 upgrade. Again, this is just kind of helping us put some more resiliency in the Lost Canyon pump station, getting pump one so it's usable. This we're going to target again for that fall window to get put in place. Pumps ordered, electrical equipment's being procured, and we should be in a good place to knock it out in the fall. No changes to the budget figure on that one. Out at Old Ranch, we've got our generator coming. Early next month at the earliest, Chris?
End of May.
Thank you. And our transmission team is going to be doing the site prep work and concrete pad in the house ahead of time. And I think we've got a good plan on how to do that. And the structural drawings and submittals, everything's been coming all lined up. So we should be in good shape to get the site prepped to get the generator delivered. The electrical work, again, same instance. Will take place over the course of the year, but we're looking at being in good shape to receive the generator as soon as possible.
What does COD mean on the picture there?
Cash on delivery?
Yeah. Great question. I don't know. I screenshotted the front of this mill.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what this middle, it said some, yeah, it was, it's not cash on delivery. I can't remember what their acronym was for.
I'm just curious.
We can come up with our cash on delivery.
And then last update on this project is we're going to install an air valve on the Lost Canyon transmission line, Dalba surge protection. There was an improvement that was identified as part of a Beaver Basin capacities study a few years ago. And we finished the surge analysis and found that it's not going to be necessary if we don't exceed 9,500 GPM. And we feel we can operate the pump station below that threshold. Even on the past, we have operated above 9,500 at times. So if things change, you know, we've got the concept and design on the shelf and all the modeling done. But for the time being, we're not going to kind of take the risk and do a project on the transmission line. So the $40,000 of construction will be used this year, and we came in under budget on the design side.
Great.
Almost one. Yeah, just an updated little Gantt chart. But next quarter, we should have some more exciting update with some construction progress.
Okay, great. Well, then I guess we're on to you, Andy.
Yeah. So included in the packet were some updated pictures of the administration building. Things are moving along. I had the opportunity a week, 10 days ago, to work with the architect and the in Oakland, going room by room, making sure we're all on the same page. There are, you know, there's little things here and there that that need to be fixed, but we are working through those. And as Steve said, we should be coming in under budget. We will, won't 100% know until we're done. There always seems to be a $3,500 change here or a $4,000 change there, but they tell me that's how it goes. But we tell them we don't have any more money, so they got to figure out how to make it work. But you'll start to see, and if any of you want a tour going inside any of these facilities, let me know. We can arrange that. So we appear to be on schedule to have completion by the end of October. You're going to start to see, yeah, now that the warmer weather is there, you're going to start to see that the final grade and the preparation will be done. So I'm pleased the way things are going. In your packet, I included the latest consumer confidence report. Sam, Stacy, Jess did a great job with water quality. They deliver things way before it's due. Nothing in there that stands out. So that was just in there for your information. And as we kind of talked on the IFFP, we have noticed our intent to proceed. We've talked to Bo and Collins about our intent to proceed, but we have to wait the 10-day noticing period in case anyone has a dispute or a concern on that. Karen, we've already said this again, we kind of previewed the treatment plant, the need to borrow the funds with the council yesterday. I spoke with Chris last night. So we will need to, at our next May board meeting, we're going to ask for a formal recommendation for approval to take on the debt, so then we can line up with the county council and either have a work session to go into to get a motion to get approval to actually be able to close on this loan. But everything, everyone that we've talked to understands the need for it, understands, you know, the WIPIA, so we work. Lisa's done a great job just keeping that process moving along. And I think our biggest risk right now is interest rate related. I mean, the way the market's been up and down and up and down. But the good news is with the WIPIA program is the long amortization and the ability to lower the interest rate before we draw on the funds. So things are moving along with the treatment plant as well. The other thing is, again, this is our 25th year as a district, and one of the things that we did is we reached out to some of the elementary schools in the district, and we had a coloring contest. And so we've chosen the 10 finalists, and so before you leave tonight, if you'd like to cast a vote for your top two picks, and then of those, we'll draw, we'll tally up whoever the winner is, the top two winners. It was a fun little project. Some of the drawings were interesting. So it was a great effort that Anna and the customer service team helped coordinate. So take a minute and cast a vote. And that's all they have.
I feel like it's somewhere in there, like, and I'm not sure whose report it was, but we were talking about our average annual usage is only like 0.34 acre feet. I don't know whose report that was, but
I put a little just even fault my thing. I just put like a real brief update on our supply and demand reporting we do at the end of the year. Yeah, annually last year, 0.34 acre feet per ERC is how the math worked out.
And is that typical for the whole state, or are we a lot lower? We're a lot lower, I mean, I would imagine, right?
Yeah. So there's a bunch of big numbers there without a lot of context. Maybe the interesting stuff when doing the report is, yep, 0.34, that's a good number. We had a much lower peak day, average annual peak day peaking factor,
which to me kind of shows that we have really sustained irrigation usage and that the district is maturing in the sense that I think we have less variance, like less kind of standout days to really spike a peaking factor. So I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but it certainly was noticeable from years past, if that means. And then this is something I do every year, so I'm trying to explain this quickly.
So the blue dots are a metric of how much water people use on peak day. And the units aren't super important, but it's GPM per ERC. And then the same is true on the green dots, and those are on an annual basis per ERC. That's acre feet per ERC, but it's just by coincidence they work out to like a similar you know, rational number. But if you look at things over time, we have like a really promising trend. So that's I think that's it's positive and kind of showing folks willingness to kind of participate in conservation efforts. And, you can see, you know, I mostly worry about peak day because that's what we have to size our system around, basically, especially from the source side. But, you know, we saw a big rebound this year, which makes sense from those drought years in usage per ERC. But certainly when you run the numbers per ERC, you can compare with years past. You're taking dollars out of it. And the intent is trying to take growth out of it, too. Just look at like behavior patterns. So this is a very high level view, but trend's going the right way. We're going to see a lot of variance, but we didn't rebound to peak day usage per ERC like we saw in 2020, which is important because all of our master plan projections are all based on the assumption we will never reach that level again. Everything we were banking on that to happen. So I thought that was encouraging. We ducked below 2020 last year. Yeah, overall things look good.
Yeah, no, that was a great report. Let's see. And then does anyone have any questions on the department updates? Joel, did you have any questions on the department updates? Okay. I had one on Chris's report. You said that we did a transformer change?
Yep. Yeah, so we upsized the transformer at our Bear Hollow pump station.
Okay.
For future use. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you look at the generator? I did, and they can increase it based on a number of variables in pricing in the market, which would include tariffs, but they have to lock it in by the shipment date of the actual generator. So that shipment date is the date where they can't move it in,
which is the end of May, so month and a half.
We'll see what happens in the next month and a half, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
And it's coming from Canada, right? Is that funny? Or parts or something.
Okay, well, if there's nothing else, does anyone want to make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Do we have a second, Joel? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, we're adjourned at 6:39.